You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? We like them mixed! Yeah!
What excitement for the UFC's return to the world's most famous apex. Yes, following a memorable, fun, entertaining, storyline-filled UFC 299 event, we're back to the apex. Heavyweights in the main event, Tai Tuivasa versus Marcin Tybura, and there are other fights on this card as well. We're going to talk about some of them right here on the UFC Vegas 88 preview show. Thank you for joining us. I am Mike Heck, joined by a whole bunch of East Coasters right now. First, in New York City, Mr. Jose Youngs. Good to have you back, my man. How's it going?
It was great being in the warmth of Miami last week, and now I'm in the semi-warm concrete jungle of New York City, so we persevere. There's worse places to be.
Yes. I don't know if Atlanta is the worst place to be, but we'll check in with the man in the ATL right now. He is Jed Meshew, Mr. No Gray Area, the hot take kid, and 4.5 on the fart scale. We're just burying the lead here. What's going on?
I think we're still working out the fart system. If you were on BTL, if you were watching BTL yesterday, you know all about the fart system. This is really the brainchild of Shaheen Al-Shadi with a little bit of input from me, but I'm just going to take the ball and run with it. It's our grading system for Apex cards, and I think this is 4.5 farts. I'm not certain of that. I could be convinced more or less, but we'll get into that. And as for Atlanta, it's a bit poopy right now, but it's been lovely weather all week.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta's terrific. It's just a wonderful city. It's the cultural hub of the South. So, you know, great place.
It's not that difficult.
Yeah, if you hit 3.5 on the mention of farts and poopy in the first 90 seconds of this program, boy,
you're from Atlanta.
I mean, Jed, you can't just... Might as well just explain what this is. I mean, not everybody in the world watched BTL yesterday. We can't Meshulin scale all of these Apex cards. Explain 4.5, what this all means. Jose, I think, can appreciate this being a baseball fan.
Look, we can't judge Apex cards on the Meshulin scale. They're just all zero. There's no Apex card that will ever get a Meshulin star. It's anathema to it. And then this sort of found out afterwards. But we were talking on, I think, the ranking show. I don't exactly remember. Maybe it was just me and Shane talking outside of it. And the concept of fights above replacement, you know, like wins above replacement in baseball. If you look at this card, how many fights on this card are above replacement? And then we added a T. So the fart system is fights above replacement tussle system. And it's very simple. Is how many fights are above the replacement tussles that you could just plug in here with random contender series dudes. Looking at this fight card, we got 13 fights. I was feeling generous, and I went for 4.5. I could be convinced that it's just three, honestly. But I was feeling generous and I went 4.5. So that's our rough rubric, and that's where we're starting. We'll continue to iterate on this as we move on, though.
I mean, the ideas and the concepts that come up on this website that become things is unbelievable. I think this might be the next thing. Jose, as a baseball fan and statistician in your own right, what do you make of, how do you grade this new system in judging Apex cards?
It's very strange because an average baseball player's WAR is a 2.0, and an all-star is usually a 3.5 to 5. So a 4.5 fart is like astronomically good at baseball. Like, you are in the top 5% baseball players, which is odd. So on a scale, like, because WAR is an actual mathematical, like, I know people in our industry like to use this really stupid word called algorithm, which just doesn't exist on the internet. An algorithm is an actual mathematical formula. And the WAR, the baseball WAR, if I remember correctly, is batting runs, base running runs, fielding runs, placement runs, and then there's like a whole other things, and then you add it together and you come out with this it's a very complicated formula. So if you get a 2, you're probably gonna have a 10-year baseball career. If you are a 5, you are a perennial all-star. Like, I don't know Mike Trout's WAR, but it's got to be way up there. So a 4.5 fart, I don't know what the formula is, but if it's anything like a WAR, you might have to readjust your quote-unquote algorithm, your fart algorithm, because that is, you're basically saying like, oh, this is Mookie Betts. This is the Mookie Betts of Apex cards.
See, this is why we needed you in the meetings, Jose, because I don't follow baseball that much. I am surprised that, because to me, the wins above replacement feels like that should just be self-explanatory. Like, oh, well, yeah, he's worth 12 wins above random dude. I wouldn't think that 2 is good, but I guess I'm dumb. Okay.
Out of 162 games, you got to remember there's a bigger spread. Like basketball does the plus minus system, which is also like you got to work out of, because like Marcus Smart one time went 0-for-7, but his plus minus was an 8 because of how much like his defense played a difference. So you gotta tinker with your quote unquote algorithm to figure out the fart system.
I'm not sure. I think it still works, because like if you condensed baseball down into 23 fights or whatever, like 23 games instead of 160, then you probably, those numbers would be, you know, up, right? Like a good WAR would not be 2. It would be more, I would think. But we'll see. We'll keep iterating.
Like you don't really take into account like the big three, like, you know, average, home runs, this. It's more like what you generate. Like you could get a fielder's choice, but if you get that guy to third and then the next batter hits him in, you played a factor in that. So even though you are 0-for-1, that positively affects your WAR. It's a whole nonsensical thing about baseball. But
as you can tell, we didn't spend all that much time breaking down the math on this one.
Sure.
Well, look, the good news is UFC Vegas 88 is about to sign a 10-year, $900 million contract with the number that it's getting. So we're putting it over big. Yeah, I mean,
Is it going to the Dodgers?
Probably.
The last thing on WAR I know, because like Mike Trout had a higher WAR the year Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown. So like that's how odd the WAR system is for baseball. Because he played a harder position too, and that also plays into like outfielding adjustments. It's a whole thing. I could do a whole episode on WAR.
Yes. UFC Vegas 88 will be a whole thing as well. We have Tai Tuivasa versus Barcin Tybura. I will say this about this card. We touched on this briefly on BTL yesterday, and I want to get your take on this, Jose. Mm-hmm. This card has literally no stakes attached to it at all. Even the main event, like, I think the big storyline is, like, can Tai Tuivasa avoid a 4-fight losing streak? Like, there's obviously stakes on that end. But if you look up and down the card, even the women's bantamweight fights that feature ranked fighters, sure, it moves them up the rankings. They get the second half of their paycheck, and that's obviously important. But the path to a title shot is still so long for all four of these women right now. But if you're just looking to sit on the couch and eat some food, crack open your favorite beverage and just watch good fights, I think you're going to get a pretty good slate here. I think there's a lot of like fast fights. I think the squash matches will be exactly squash matches. Yeah. I think this will be at least an entertaining day of fights. Do you agree looking up and down this card?
I get at the card right now. Every single fight has at least one half of the fight I am interested in from top to bottom. Now, like you said, I don't think there are any future champions on this card or future. I don't think anyone on this card will fight for a UFC belt, but they are all interesting fight. There's at least one half of every fight has an interesting fighter. So not the best, not the worst. I don't know what this fart system is. So apparently it's a 4.5. That might be slightly above average, but like, it's not the worst Apex card. We have certainly sat through worse.
Yes. Maybe like this preview show. I mean, we're just getting all into it, but, John, let's talk about the main event. We got Tuivasa versus Mark Tybura. And look, you look at this fight on paper and it's going to go one of two ways. Either Tuivasa is going to wreck shop in about 5 minutes or less, or Marcin Tybura is just going to take Tuivasa down and kind of lay on him for a while. That seems to be sort of the consensus of how this plays out. Is that the way you're looking at this fight too? If you're from a betting perspective, like how do you look at this fight? Like what are the angles you look at? What are sort of the things you put in your mind before you click the button on placing a potential wager for this main event?
You're killing me by asking about real things because I'm trying to retroactively look at what fart scale scores would be for other Apex cards so we could know if this 4.5 is good, if it's above average, where it's at. We really have no idea. This is just the number. As far as the main event, we were talking about No Bets Barred this week. Next week's main event is better. The rest of this card is better than next week's card, but next week's main event is obviously better. It has Rose Namajunas in it. But this week's main event is still reasonable. If there are stakes on this card at all for anyone, I mean, everyone has stakes, you know, individually, but in the grander scheme of MMA, if there are stakes, those stakes belong to the main event. Yes, because it's the main event, but mostly because Tai Tuivasa was on the brink of a title shot not long ago. I mean, he came into the Ciryl Gane fight and then was just thumping Gane around the cage for a hot minute there, and it looked like, oh my goodness, this dude who's mega popular, who is on a great winning streak, he's about to beat Ciryl Gane somehow, and obviously that didn't end up happening, but he was a few good punches away from basically getting a title fight. And since then, the train has fallen off the tracks for Tuivasa. To his credit, he went on the MMA Hour this week, talked to Ariel, and basically said what I think is a fair statement of, it's not like I'm losing to bums, you know? Sergey Pavlovich, Alexander Volkov, Ciryl Gane, these are some of the best dudes in the weight class. If I was losing to bums, I would also be concerned, but I'm just falling short against the best guys out there. I don't think Marcin Tybura is in that realm. If he loses to Marcin Tybura, who's still a quality, competent heavyweight, you can maybe sell yourself on it, but I do think that this would be the loss that would be like, all right, Ty has fallen off. Maybe he was just a flash in the pan, however it happened. But there are real stakes to his career because, I mean, shit, I said it last week ahead of Piotr Jan fighting Song Yadong. You don't lose four in a row and come back in this sport. It almost never happens. There's one fighter who I can ever think of who's done it, and it's Andrei Arlovsky. And so maybe Ty could do it because heavyweight is a little more forgiving in that respect. But anytime you lose four in a row, everything about the game just seems so off to you. So this is really critical for him to win here. And for Tybura, the stakes aren't large. He'll move up one spot in the rankings or he'll hold his own. Like nothing much changes, but for Ty, there is something significant here. And so I think he's going to come out. He's going to look the best we've seen him in some time. And he's not going to let Marcin do like you were talking about and kind of try and make this ugly, drag it into deeper water and muck things up.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely understand that take on things. Like the Ciryl Gane fight, it was a delight. Like Ciryl landed way more punches, but Ty was game as hell, landed a big shot.
And I almost killed him.
He almost did. He almost did. And then the Sergey Pavlovich fight, he at least landed a couple of shots before Pavlovich just Pavlovich'd all over him. Jose, the death of a thousand lunchboxes, but these are big ass lunchboxes.
It's like and then four lunchboxes.
The Volkov fight was tough, man. Like maybe it's just like because Volkov is so huge and he's so tall and like the wingspans between the two were just impossible for Tuivasa to overcome. But I think if there's one of the three fights that were probably the most concerning, it's probably the Volkov fight. But Jose, how do you sort of view this three-fight run for Ty Tuivasa? Because the fans freaking love him anyways, and they're still going to be on his side, and they're still going to want to root for him and still want to watch him fight. But four-fight losing streak is tough to come back from.
Yeah, and how dare Jed forget Jessica Ai losing four in a row and then fighting her way to getting head kicks by Valentina Shevchenko in Chicago.
I totally did forget that, so full credit, Jose.
The Ciryl Gane fight, people also forget that crowd, that was like the first Paris card, and that crowd was electric. That is one of the best cards, like best fight crowds you'll ever like get to receive through a screen. And then the Sergey Pavlovich one, I think that was a way too quick of a turnaround. You know, he got knocked out by Ciryl Gane in September and then fought in December, and then, you know, a couple months after that they were already fighting in Perth. So I just thought it should have been a no-brainer for him to maybe not fight in December and then be on that Perth card in February. Maybe it would have played out differently. And then, like you said, on the MMA hour, he didn't really train, didn't really get a great camp for the Volkov fight because he had a lot of bumps and bruises and just wasn't 100%. Didn't really get to spar, had to work around injuries. And like we all said, he's not fighting bums. Like Sergey Pavlovich, if it wasn't for like the John Jones Stipe thing, he could have fought for an undisputed title. Ciryl Gane, you know, was an interim champion. And then Alexander Volkov should have gotten his title shot at some point. He's weighed in at backups, but he's also stumbled at the finish line. These are the best of the best, but there is there's a big difference, you know, from knocking out Greg Hardy and Augusto Sakai, and then all of a sudden you're fighting Sergey Pavlovich and Ciryl Gane. So I don't know where Ty Tuivasa is in terms of skills. If he wasn't 100% against Alexander Volkov, I tend to believe him. He was fighting in front of his home crowd. I feel like, and if you were on site like myself, a lot of the media was there for Ty because there was also a lot of like indigenous Australian people there that were there to interview Ty. So I just feel like he didn't want to pull out if he was that injured. He said he could have fought in Anaheim. He wanted a few more weeks for recovery. So I just don't know where Ty is in terms of this heavyweight division, because Derek Lewis can lose to anyone and he can beat anyone. And then, like I said, Harry Hunt, Sucker, Greg Hardy, Augusto Sakai. And then all of a sudden you're fighting Ciryl Gane, Sergey Pavlovich, Alexander Volkov. I think this is a perfect matchup to see where we are in terms of where we can rank Ty in this heavyweight division.
Yeah, I'm not saying like we're talking about Ty Tuivasa like he's about to get into his final fist fight, but there's no way that's going to happen. But I think one of my like biggest regrets of something I didn't see that I wish happened was Ty Tuivasa after he knocked out Derek Lewis, they just gave him a title fight. Just gave him his one chance. He was as over as he was ever going to be. He was as ranked as high as he was ever going to be. For us specifically, we talked about this on our ranking show. There was no champion at the time. Francis was unknown. We knew there was either going to be a vacant title thing or an interim title thing. Just chucking him in there like earlier on in the process after the Derek Lewis win would have been incredible. Even if he lost, who gives a shit? So that would be one thing. But obviously, he wants to avoid this four-fight losing streak. He's got a tough fight in the perennial contender in Marcin Tybura. So let's make a pick right now, because I'm sure the people have a million questions about this card. It's pretty much a pick 'em right now, according to our friends at DraftKings. Ty Tuivasa, -115. The comeback on Marcin Tybura, -105. Jed, your pick, your plays for this particular matchup.
I'm picking Ty Tuivasa. I think you could kind of gathered that from my breakdown. The dudes he's been losing to, they just have so much more potent offense than Marcin Tybura brings. Marcin Tybura is also not impervious to harm. And it's really simplistic, but I actually think Ty sort of nailed it in his breakdown. If I dink him, I sink him. If he hits him, it's probably game over, and I don't like Ty Burrow's chances to muck this up, muddy the waters as much as he would need to. And I think Ty Tuivasa still has the juice. He's just run into some really good dudes, and he is limited, certainly, but Ty Burrow's not the fighter who's going to take advantage of that. So I'm on Ty Tuivasa. I also have Ty Tuivasa by KO parlayed with another gentleman later in this card because I'm a Munson. But Ty Tuivasa, I think he's going to get it done and get it done early.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. Financial operations are needlessly complex. Startups have to cobble together a patchwork of tools to reconcile transactions from different sources and struggle to glean answers from platforms that speak different languages. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so you can pay bills faster, stay in control of company spending, and speed up reconciliation. Apply in minutes at mercury.com and join over 100,000 ambitious startups that trust Mercury, not just for banking and credit cards, but for the precision, control, and focus they need to transform their financial workflows and perform at their best. Mercury, the art of simplified finances. Apply in minutes at mercury.com. Mercury is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by Choice Financial Group and Evolve Bank and Trust. Members FDIC.
Jose, your pick.
I think if Martin Tabur is going to win, I think it'll have to be early and it'll have to be by submission. I don't think Ty is a guy like Ty has the type of power that you can't avoid that for five rounds. And Martin Tabur is one of those weird heavyweights that has probably more decision wins than knockout wins. Doesn't really like, and the guys he's eking out decision wins over are like Blagoy Ivanov, probably has a lot of decision wins. Like Alexander Romanov, that fight should have been a draw. I'll die on that hill. I think we'll all die on that hill. But again, like, he's not knocking out elite heavyweights, or he's not finishing guys with elite. Like he TKO'd Greg Hardy. It's Greg Hardy. And then he fought Ben Rothwell and Augustos. I think he lost to Augustus Guy by knockout. So I don't think Martin Tabura is by any means the deadliest heavyweight in the world, but he can make fights very ugly and very boring. I don't think Ty Tuivasa is a guy that will let that happen. I don't think it'll be a boring fight. I think eventually he will catch him, but if Martin Tabura is going to win, it's going to have to be by submission early when they're both dry. But in the end, I think Ty probably gets a knockout in the later half of round two or early round three. Probably not as quick as the Tom Aspinall one where he just blasted him and sending him somersaulting back, but I think he'll catch him again. The tiny cage I think also favors Ty. I think he'll hurt him, finish him against the fence late round two, early round three.
Yeah, I kind of like Tuivasa round two. I think Tybor is going to be pretty smart about this and just try to tackle him real quick and hope to avoid any devastation. And then Tuivasa is going to have to realize that I'm going to have to land something big or it's going to be 25 minutes of this. So, yeah, I like Tuivasa round 2 KO, but who the hell knows? I think this fight is lined properly. It could go either way. and we'll see how it plays out. So other main card fights, we have Brian Battle versus Angelosa. That is the co-main event. We have Kennedy and Chichukwu versus Ovin St. Preux is the featured bout. Christian Rodriguez versus Isaac Dolgarian. Rodriguez moving up to 145. We have Pani Kanzad versus Macy Chiesan. And opening up the main card, Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberena. Jose, I'll begin with you. Outside of the main event, what's the must-watch fight for you? What's the second? If you can only watch two of these fights, it's the main event. And what else?
On the main card? I mean, probably the OSP. I mean, probably Brian Battle for the prospects aspect of it. But Ovin St. Preux for, like, and Kennedy Njoku, because I don't think that fight is particularly going to last very long. Both guys seem to get knocked out big or knockout slash submit people big. And then Brian Battle is a guy, you know, he's a tough guy, right? I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
I'm fairly certain that's correct.
So this is why we need AK back from vacation. Stop taking vacations, AK, when the Ultimate Fighter is in the news. So probably those two, just based for two completely different reasons. I don't know how we're going to get to watch Ovin St. Preux do this too often. I'm not saying Ovin St. Preux is a Hall of Famer, but he's been in some very memorable moments in UFC history. Got to spend a lot of time with him in Bangor, Maine, when he fought Ryan Bader. And let me tell you, when you're walking around Bangor, Maine, with a 6'6" black man with brands all over his arm, you get some funny looks. And ever since that week there, I've always kind of had a soft spot for OSP because he just kind of, you know, rolled with the punches walking into a grocery store and everyone just, like, all of a sudden there's people kind of shadowing him. I'm just like, this is what you deal with all the time. He's like, all my life. I go, God damn, I do not envy you. And then Kennedy Njoku is also a guy that, like I said, lose big or win big. So those two. And then Brian Battle is just a name. Co-main event. I'm glad he's getting at least some shine in not a marquee spot, but a second to last fight, I'll say.
Jed, what say you? What's the cherry on top of the two fight Sunday here?
Is there one? I'm just being honest. Also, I've been crunching the numbers while you guys have been talking. It would appear that four is going to be around our average fart score.
What is the algorithm? What are we adding up to come to this 4.5?
Fights that are better than random dudes who I've never heard of. So
you should incorporate, does their opponent have a Wikipedia page? Yes or no?
I mean, as we kind of delve into this, that is absolutely part of it that we can, but it's mostly like, all right, if it's two ranked people, that's just by definition above replacement, even if maybe it's not a great fight. And the rest of it's just kind of vibes. Like, I've chosen to give one to Gerald Meerschaert versus Brian Barberena as a fight above
replacement. Let's go.
That's probably the, like, cherry on the sundae to get to your point, Mike. But looking at the previous Apex cards, everything came in somewhere between 4, 4.5, 3.5. Because, you know, they would have, like, here are some ranked fighters as well to juice the numbers. But, you know, if only four fights on your 13-fight card are above replacement level, yeah, that sounds about right for Apex, I gotta say. So, to your point, though, Gerald Meerschaert, Brian Barberena is at least probably going to be fun. Two very well-known commodities, two dudes who get down in very different ways. Brian Barberena up at middleweight, undersized, but, you know, I don't think that that's going to be the determining factor here. This won't mean really anything for either dude other than two paychecks. But if Meerschaert wins, he probably finds a way to a submission, which is fun. And if Barberena wins, he probably goes bam, bam on him, which is also fun. So that's I got to think that that's like the appealing fight from both sides. Matchups that can be fun on this card, don't get me wrong. There are other prospects I'm interested. I talked a lot about Danny Silva, a BTL. I love Thiago Moises always, but as far as two dudes – I think that's the one. Two opponents who fit in a fun way.
Yes. It's great. Great fight. Looking forward to that one. It's one of the fights that make me like middleweight so much because you get two get or get got guys, two different kinds of get or get got guys. And those two are going to scrap. It's going to be fun, whether it's short, long, gets finished or goes the full 15. It's going to be a fun ass fight. So let's bring in Casey. Let's hear from the peeps. There are some low-key bangers on here. I'm sure we're going to get that question. So we'll leave the rest of the question to the peeps for this. Oh, is that a timeout?
Right back. I can still hear you. I just have to do a thing very briefly. Continue.
Beat it, nerd.
Jet has to do.
Let's just talk about the low-key banger.
Yeah, what is the low-key banger, Jose?
It's Natan Levy versus Mike Davis. I mean, yep. If I could watch one fight, other fight outside, honestly, I'll watch that fight over the main event because I really like, I think Mike Davis is so talented and he's not like, what's he been like once, one fight a year for the last several years. If that, I know he's probably missed big chunks of time. He's a guy that looks good getting off the bus, well-spoken guy. Anytime you interview him, you know, he's probably, he's cried in a few interviews, you know, going over what's been going on in his life. Natan Levy has been in the news a lot for beating up, you know, internet jerks since his last fight. His last fight was that Orlando card, huh?
Both of these dudes are 18-month-ish layoffs coming into this one.
And that was when Natan Levy called out Kanye West in his post-fight scrum, which made a lot of headlines. So, yeah, if I could watch one fight on this card, it's probably that, because I think both guys are very high-level mixed martial artists and incredibly well-rounded, and I'm very excited to see. I've seen Mike Davis in various corners over the last 18 months, but I'm excited to see. I'm happy he's back in the cage. Because I think he's now past 30, and I remember when he was like this hot prospect coming up out of Florida. So I'm excited to see him back. 31. In the octagon. 31. Yeah. Like he 31. Made his debut before the pandemic and he's probably fought three times since then. And that's a bummer. And I think he made his debut against Gilbert Burns, which is not easy.
On super short notice.
Yeah, and it wasn't even that bad of a fight. So, yeah, excited to see Mike Davis back in there.
Here's my question for you, because I agree with everything you said. This fight was on the fence on whether I would give it a fight above replacement, whether it would move us. I ultimately chose no. That's why we're at 4.5. Do we think Levy versus Davis should elevate this card to a 5.5 farts?
Yeah, it's the third best fight on the card, I think.
Okay. I'm willing to acknowledge that. So adjust this score. We're up to five farts. Five and a half. Sorry.
All right. It's the third best fight on the card, but I would say the one that I have the most questions about both men, just based on where they are in their career.
Yeah. Also, because they both haven't fought in like 18 months.
Yeah. No, that is completely fair. Mike Davis is also a guy that's if I remember correctly, Mark Zuckerberg had two people in the Meta headquarters. It was Max Holloway and Mike Davis. So for whatever reason, Mike Davis got that shine too.
Mike Davis. God, man. This guy's career. Fifth pro fight. He has the best fight ever on the Contender Series.
Without question.
Loses unanimous decision. If he had taken that fight with Sadiq Youssef and had that fight in any other season, he would have gotten a contract straight up, even with the loss. But that season, they only gave Yusuf a contract, did not give Mike Davis one. So he has to have a couple fights in the regional scene. Loses to Gilbert Burns up a weight class on short notice. Comes back a few months later and beats the absolute soul out of Thomas Gifford in one of the most lopsided and please stop this fight type of performances that Thomas Gifford made it to like the final 15 seconds before getting brutally knocked out. Then he takes like 2 years off, fights on Fight Island against Mason Jones. Oh, and those two,
that fight was so
holy
good.
Holy cow, what a freaking fight that was.
Yeah, it was so good.
And then that's his only win over someone with a Wikipedia page too. Mm-hmm. It's an important win for him.
And then he fights Slava Claus in another super fun fight in October of 2022 and wins that one. So that guy's been through so much. There is like a long form like video interview I did with him that just kind of never saw the light of day for some reason. Just kind of ironing out everything he's gone through from like all the different injuries, you know, different stuff. Got hit by a car while he was riding his bike that like kept him out of action for a while. This guy has been through so much. So I'm excited to see him back. And this fight in particular, I think it's going to be an absolute banger. And It's a lightweight fight, so you know it's going to be good.
And I know he was – we're talking a lot about Mike Davis right now for whatever reason. But, like, I know the fights that he was supposed to have. Like, he was supposed to fight Jai Herbert before he got hurt. And then some featherweight jumped up in weight named Ilya Topuria and then just melted Jai Herbert. And then he was supposed to fight Udos Medic, who is a bad dude, too. And then he got hurt again. So just a bummer. It's just a bummer all around. No, wait.
Dude, he was gonna fight Giga. He was gonna fight Giga.
Oh, that's right.
Dude,
that's
he was
right.
gonna drop down and fight Giga.
What a bang. What a gamer.
I'm glad. Golly, what a fight that would have been. Yeah.
The fight I'm looking forward to is Josie Nunes. I love Josie Nunes. That's
all I'm
looking forward to that fight. 100%.
One of the above replacement fights, Casey. Oh, it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one of the fights I have circled on. Like every card on the prelim has at least one half interesting, and she makes that fight interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, we need to just and you mentioned her name. Make sure we watch that fight.
She's great. All right.
Let's go to the peeps. Throw your questions also, in. Super this chatters.
A 5.5, guys. This is actually a good Apex card.
I said that at the beginning.
What we've learned. The fart score is justified. Is what I'm gathering from this.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun sit down and watch card. Mm-hmm. There's going to be like very little to talk about after, but we will enjoy watching.
The stakes, and there's no real main event in a sense. It's just kind of fights. No,
there's
fights,
a main event. There's not a co-main event. This is for sure a penultimate fight to steal AK's.
Fair enough. All right.
Also, I don't know why that's the co-main. Like, there are multiple fights with ranked women fighters on this card, and they can't co-main over Brian Battle Angelusa.
Thank you, Lazy Ben. If Ty loses, is BKFC the perfect fit? Farts for life. I mean, is he fighting for his job, Jed?
This is a perfect comment. No notes. I don't think that if he loses, he would get cut. But if he loses, I would be a lot more interested in being like, let's just have Ty go to BKFC. That seems quite fun. MMA is not going to work out for him long term. Let's just shortcut this and have him knuckle up with Ben Rothwell. That seems delightful. You know, like why wouldn't we choose to do that? And then obviously farts for life, you know?
Yeah. Farts for life. More importantly. All right.
Yes.
I don't mind it. All right. It's just another one from Lazy Bed, real quick. Just going with the theme.
Obsolete timing. Mm. Good try. Don't love it. Good try.
It's solid effort.
Yeah.
This the probably word works. Toot is infinitely funnier than fart, though.
Yeah, toot.
It is Jed a much funnier word.
Jed just knows what the people want. Boy, you have turned my the public, Jed.
I mean, we legitimately, Shaheen and I were talking about fights above replacement. And I was like, if we're going to do this, we've got to find a T word for fight to put at the end of it because far is weird and like it doesn't work the same way as war does. But farts is funny. So, because I'm a child. And so are all our people, our children. It's great.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
It makes sense that Sean is also from Georgia and Jed lives in Georgia. So, you know, simple things make them laugh.
It's a state of innovators. You're correct.
There you go.
We're disrupting the MMA statistics game.
There's another word. I'm going to put the word disrupt next to the word algorithm for things that need to be abolished from the MMA lexicon.
I agree that disrupting is the worst word in the human language.
It's up there. Question from Joseph Boza.
He needs to redeem himself.
Is that true?
Yeah.
How
crazy is that Ryan Battles fought his entire UFC career at the Apex. He will break the record for most Apex fights this week with 7. Wow, I didn't know he was going to break the record.
Because
you see an AB?
This is it.
No, he hasn't fought his entire career in the Apex. Gabe Green was in North Carolina.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
That's
a tag. But I was going to say, we had this conversation, I can't remember with who, somewhere in Miami, over who should headline UFC Apex 100. And I said it should be Sean Strickland, Brandon Allen, part two, because those are just the Apex people. And I said Brian Battle should probably be in the co-main because he's fought a whole lot in there. And he keeps winning. So if he keeps winning, why not? Anyway.
Look, don't You're taking everything Jairzinho Rosenstrike worked for, you know?
I forgot.
I did not realize Brian Battle has fought. This will be his sixth time in the Apex, which is a lot of times in the Apex.
We need to come up with a perfect UFC Apex 100 card. I think
it's actually technically it's his eighth fight in the Apex because of his Ultimate Fighter fights.
Oh, I didn't consider it tough, but I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
How dare you?
Is Tybor versus Biggie Boy? Is that the heavyweight Apex fight of the ever?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I assume has Tybor fought in the Apex a bunch? I feel like Tybor.
Even when he doesn't, it feels like he does. I don't know.
He gets a lot of crowds.
Yeah, Tybor was on a couple of those Abu Dhabi cards. He fought in London.
He fights abroad.
67, 251.
Yeah.
This is his fourth Apex venture, I think, as far as I can tell. Oh, maybe it's his fifth, though.
Feels like more. I guess because he's always Hardy, kind of the, he's always Harris. The B, he's always the B side, I feel like, of the matchups.
This is his third
main event.
It's true.
Heavyweights.
His first main event was in a 5-round fight against Fabricio Werdum in London, like so long ago.
That seems so weird.
Yeah,
25 minutes. Thing. It went the full bore.
Was that in London or Australia? I don't remember. It was somewhere down. I just remember neither man being from that city and be like, this is.
And like Australia. No real rivalry. Just, all right.
Yeah.
Sergey Spivak has to be the heavyweight contest Apex dude. He's got six in the Apex.
How many main events does he have?
Two, but one of those was Paris against Cyril Gane, so it wasn't the Apex.
One. Derek Lewis was at the Apex.
Yeah, he's got the Derek Lewis was in the Apex.
Yeah.
At 4 a.m. Eastern time.
All right.
Augusto Sakai is exclusively fighting in the Apex lately. That's fun.
Lately? Okay. He hasn't fought because he's not even in the UFC.
He fought last year.
He's a guy that won, and then they just chose not to resign him. Like, he won his last UFC fight.
But you can bring him back for an event like Apex 100. Him versus Sergey Spivak, the rematch in the Apex.
Yeah, he had his stretch of four losses in a row were against very good fighters as well.
It's true.
Oh, isn't Barbarina on a four-fight losing streak, too?
I think it's three.
He'll be four if he loses.
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay.
Correct.
His last win, I think, was against Lawler, right?
That is accurate.
Yep.
So if he loses, his title aspirations are gone.
That's true.
Yes. Well, like, if he wins, his title aspirations are also gone.
Hey.
Who else did he lose? I know he lost to RDA, and I know he lost to Gunnar Nelson.
Muradov or whatever.
Two of them were at welterweight, and then Mahmoud was at middleweight, correct?
Yeah, that was his debut. That was a tough debut. Yeah.
A lot of Fight of the Nights.
What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Four podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities. The greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out. Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries, not including...
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, "Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog." She's like knocking on the door, going, "Everything okay in there?" "Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog."
I know it's not UFC Vegas 88, but do you know who is replacing Vettori for the Brandon Allen fight? So
you see the news? You saw it, right?
I mean, I know it's being... Wait, is it?
Yeah, we put it in...
We have not confirmed news just yet. There is somebody who is slated to replace Marvin Vettori. It looks like it's going to happen, but we have not fully confirmed this. I'm actually... As Casey was putting the screen to solo shots in the early stages, I was trying to confirm fully this information to break it here on the program. And if I get that information and that confirmation, I will do exactly that. But there is somebody in mind, and I think it's going to happen. But trust but verify, should, my friends.
And it should surprise no one.
Yeah.
All right. Did you got a super chat?
Hey, Jameek. How many wins away is Josiane Nunes from a title shot? You know what, Jameek? You know what's funny, Jameek? If you put that question in for free, you would have got it up here because of know the man behind the questions. But still, we appreciate it. How many wins away is Josiane Nunes from a title, Jed? Over under 4.5.
Oh, it's got to – I mean, from winning the title – It's got to be
title
under
shot.
Four
we'll
and a half.
We'll say title shot.
Title shot.
It's got to be under 4.5 to title shot just because this weight class is rancid, assuming that she's, you know, is sticking at 135. She made weight today, so I assume this should be saying. If she wins 3 in a row, I can't imagine that wouldn't get her a title fight. Because just look at it. This weight class has no – This is the rare time where there are no ranking squatters. Everyone is just in stasis perpetually. Like they just all have fought each other and we have a pretty clear pecking order. And so she can climb up. She wins this week against Chelsea Chandler, who is ranked because that's the status of the women's bantamweight division.
She's fought a bantamweight, Chandler? I didn't even know that.
I think she has... one fight and it was at 145, but they just lost to Norma Dumont at something 45. I don't know what it was.
45.
But the UFC ranks her at bantamweight because that's just the thing. So she wins this fight. She could probably get to fight somebody up there. I don't know. Maybe Misha Tate wants to fight a different Nunes and one that maybe she could beat instead of getting clubbed around the cage by. She wins that, then she gets to fight Irene Aldana, and if she wins that, who the hell else is fighting for belts right now? The bantamweight title picture is Juliana Pena will fight Rocky Pennington. That fight will fight Kayla Harrison after she demolishes Holly Holm. And then Kayla's going to fight other people, I guess. I don't like Mayra Buena Silva or whatever. So okay. 3 wins should get her into a title shot.
Okay. Still got Aldana who got a win, a big win. So yeah, we got.
I think
two knockouts.
I think the winner of this fight is just going to fight the winner of the other bantamweight fight on this card.
Yeah, probably.
That would be. I mean, yeah, and that
but
would
again,
make sense.
We're making too much.
That would be an up. That also makes sense though, there because Panny Kianza and Macy Chasen are higher ranked. So then that
but
would
not by
be
a lot
elevating step. Panny's number 6. So if Jason wins, which I think she will, she'll probably get bumped to the UFC's number 6. And then that's a big jump for Nunes, who's 13.
Yeah. And she has made weight, I assume, at 35.
I have no idea. Oh, yeah. She did make weight.
She did make weight. Okay. I know that's a she's a tall.
Both fighters made weight. Yeah. Both fighters made weight. I did not watch the end of it because I hopped on to do this. Natan Levy is the only one that I know who missed weight. Somebody looked bad on the Brian Battle looked pretty tough on the scale, but he made 170.
Yeah, he usually looks pretty bad. He was a middleweight forever.
Yeah, Everyone on the scale looks horrible. It's all poker faces. That's all it is. It's all poker. They're all having.
Well, his poker face is trash. But he made 170, not 171. So, you know, good for him.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, the only fighters needing to make weight as of now is Danny Silva and Chelsea Chandler. And
we Danny, don't bring me down, bro. Also, Chelsea Chandler could absolutely blow weight.
Yeah, definitely. Super chat, $5 super chat coming in.
Let's go. Gustavo, I've been wanting to ask this for weeks. Is it time to finally put some respect on Helwani's name as an MMA fighter? He took Basharat's O.
Sure.
We're talking about Ayman Sahabi.
Yes, that is in fact who we're talking
about. Yes, we should be doing that. I saw Chris Gutierrez just called him out for the St. Louis card on May 11th. I think that's a good fight. I think that might be the exact matchup I propose on to the next one, if memory serves it correctly. So, yeah, I like that one. He's good.
Sure.
Had a nice run. Deserves a ranked guy. Basharat won. He deserved a ranked guy. So
that was the same name. That was a big upset too. At least in the kind of huge upset. Yep. I don't think any of us had Basharat losing that fight.
Super did not.
Yep. Thank you much, Gustavo. All righty. For Jed.
GM3 sub prop is a must for every fight of his. Agree or disagree, Jen?
Let me see what the number's at right now. I mean, if he's going to win, it's almost certainly that he's just going to tap Brian Barberena. Jose knows I'm a child and I do childish things. And among those childish things, there are two fighters on this card nicknamed Bam Bam. What am I going to do? Not bet on them together and like eat a bowl of Fruity Pebbles on Saturday morning and be ready to rock? Of course, that's what I'm going to do. So I have bet on Brian Barberena, but it's definitely not wrong. The most likely outcome of this fight is Gerald Meerschaert submits him. And that number right now is +110, which is fine. I don't hate that bet.
It's better than -240.
It is better than that. That's very true. But sneakily, it's like actually, so it is better than that. But the question is just how much better is it than that, right? Because at -240, like +110, you put 100 down, it is going to pay you out $100, right? Or $110, sorry. -240 pays what, like 40 something? Hold on, let me figure out exactly what that pays on a $100 bet. $41. So you're getting 70, because I'm bad at math, $70 extra of value on a $100 bet, which isn't bad, but I don't know. It just depends how safe you want to be, right?
Fair.
I usually like to be getting 3 digits of value at least to make a prop bet versus a standard bet.
Cool. Okay.
Where does one email fan submissions for these programs? Is that even a thing?
Don't email us.
No.
You can email us.
I don't know if you're talking about on to the next
one. I'm just curious what you want to email. Super chat in Lazy Bed. Tell us what you're trying to email us. Because like if you could just comment it, and I just am not sure what you would need an email for.
Maybe the comment.
Other than spam.
Or maybe he needs an attachment, you know, a PowerPoint presentation included in his comment.
Yeah, I'm super sus about looking at PDFs from our viewers. No offense to any of you. I love you all. But I'm very suspect. I am not clicking on any links that you are emailing me.
Yes. Sorry. We don't take email submissions. Lazy Bed. We just, I don't know. Send a telegram or something.
I mean, make an argument. Explain to me what you need the email for, and we could talk. But for now, we're going to not do that.
All right. This one's for me.
Hey, Casey, would you rather see Gaethje Poirier 3 or Islam versus Poirier?
Islam versus Poirier.
Yeah.
Pretty easy. I'll see Gaethje versus Poirier 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I'll see all those two. As long as they can, they survive. And here we go. Got some last minute questions.
Can you please rate my parlay? Jed, this is for you. And Jose, if you want to chime in, please. Moises, Davis, Bearshart, and Kennedy and Chichuku by KOTKO.
Okay, let me take a look at this on the odds. So Bearshart, Davis, Moises, and then Kenny Nunchucks by TKO. Is that right?
By KOTKO.
Yeah. Kenny Nunchucks by TKO. That's paying out. That's a four-legger paying out at plus 209. First, I would say four-leg parlays. I mean, I make them all the time. They just never win. Ask the parlay boys how four-leg parlays go. It's just – you're just not going to get them. It's super hard. Like I said, I'm betting against Bearshart, so obviously I'm not like a huge fan of that leg. Would not be at all surprised if this did hit. I am super sus on Kennedy and Chichuku getting this price. Yes, Ovin St. Preux is super old and fairly washed, but like Kenny Nunchucks is not a guy you should feel super confident putting your money behind. If he wins, it probably is by knockout, but I've been burned believing in him for some time, so I would be skeptical, but good luck. Except for on the Gerald Bearshart part of it, because it would be better for me if he does not win. Wow. It's the old Godfather line. I wish you the best in your endeavors such that they don't conflict with my own. That one directly conflicts with mine. So.
Yes. Oh, do you have anything else? Or are we good to go?
Quick one.
Jameek, if Ty loses, who would his next opponent be? Appreciate it, guys. Y'all are the best.
Someone. It should be Ben Rothwell and BKFC. It won't be Ben or BKFC.
Give him freaking Rebellis to Spain. Like, just give him that fight.
Oh, hell yeah. Except for Rebellis, I mean, I have no idea what that fight looks like, honestly. No one knows a single thing about Rebellis.
I know. That's why they should just do it.
I forget the gentleman's name, but if Ty loses, would it be crazy to have him face the 8 foot tall Cuban dude?
That's what we just said.
You just said that.
Oh, yeah, that's his name. I don't even know his names.
Yeah. Rebellis to Spain. Yeah. How dare you, Casey?
He needs a cooler name. He needs a cooler name. Like, I don't know. Like, that name
he
is.
He needs a cooler Rebellis name than Rebellis to Spain. Okay. It's like instantly one of the five coolest names in freaking UFC.
All right. Well, he's new to me.
Also, we can't do that anyway, Mike.
We all thought the same thing. Then we all thought the same
thing. No, we're not. No one likes your idea.
Chris Barnett. It's for
no
Bellis versus Barnett. The 6'8 dude versus Huggy Bear. It's the best fight.
No, we can't do that.
If I had a five fight wish list, that fight would be on it. That fight would absolutely be on it. Screw John Jones, Francis Ngannou. Give me Rebellis to Spain. Chris Huggy Bear Barnett.
Gustavo. Gustavo on Skazi versus Tuivasa if Ty loses. No, I don't want to see that. Please, no.
That would make a lot of sense, honestly. Heavyweight main events, dudes losing. The way Gazeev lost is just like, oh, Ty could absolutely just hit him and break him. There's a real chance that actually is what they would do, even if I would sort of say Rebellis is a better fight. After Rebellis fights Chris. After Rebellis fights Chris Barnett.
Okay, I stand corrected on the Rebellis name. I stand corrected. It does. If you say it right with an accent.
It's generally the coolest name.
Well, the way you say it didn't sound cool, but I can see other people saying it can sound scary.
Wow.
Yeah, that Georgia fart right. accent. I don't know. It doesn't work for me. But.
Oh, Chelsea Chandler missed weight.
Yes, I'm trying to confirm the number. But yes, she missed weight.
Give me a second. All right. Okay. Oh. 137.
That's better than I thought it was going to be, honestly. Just and I don't mean that to over. Sound like just a butthead, but she's not a bantamweight. Like, she's always been a featherweight. So 135 is a big drop for her.
Yeah.
So not terrible.
1 pound off. That's fine. That's, you know, she'll get there.
Oh, okay, Eugene.
All right. Sorry. And
oh, maybe shouting last... out Eugene, Oregon.
Oh yeah. And last super chat, $10 super chat, and what a great, oh, what a nice statement, what a nice statement.
Deep state. Have a great day. Thanks for the show. Outstanding. There you go. So Sean O'Malley just tweeted, "I want Marab. 2025 will be legendary."
Think it's true.
That's incredible.
It's a great tweet.
God, I'm just gonna hate this kid so much. It's gonna be great.
He's prize fighting his ass off, and I respect it.
Doing it.
It's
2025. Come on, guys. It's
or maybe he's just saying, "I'm gonna fight Marab. I'm gonna beat him." And lead into my 2025, which will in turn become legendary.
Well, maybe I'm terribly wrong myself. I hope that's correct.
Music.
I have learned in this sport that you should take the negative view of everything. You'll be disappointed far less.
That's a very true statement. Well, we are done. Thank you all very much. We'll be back 3:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. People's pre-fight show. It'll be myself and the return of the Prince of Positivity. How about that? AK Lee returns to the People's Pre-Fight Show. Then we'll have a post-fight show. Also fun. So thank you very much for watching. Oh, Danny Silva just missed weight too. 148.5.
Come on, Danny.
Man, what a way to end it. Three weight misses. In a partridge and a pear tree. Good night, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
What are you doing, Dan? Love y'all.
It's a cool name. I take it back. It's a cool name. I like it.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Mercury. There's an art to making the complex feel simple. Everything should be in sync so that even the smallest part serves a bigger purpose. Simplicity can transform your business operations. That's why Mercury powers your financial workflows from the bank account, so ambitious companies have the precision, control, and focus they need to perform at their best. Apply in minutes at mercury.com.
The Current podcast is back with an exciting new season featuring marketing executives from the world's most influential brands. Tune in to hear what's driving conversation in the fast-moving world of digital advertising with unique insights from brands as diverse as Hilton, Instacart, Moderna, Major League Soccer, and more. And in this presidential election season, The Current explores what a national political advertiser like the National Republican Senatorial Committee and a major CPG brand like Hershey can learn from each other. Listen in and subscribe to The Current at thecurrent.com or wherever you get your podcasts.